Well, it's official. Last year was the hottest on record for the planet. And the long-term forecast for New England calls for a lot warmer temperatures, much higher seas, and more precipitation. The release of greenhouse gases into the atmosphere from the burning of fossil fuels is disrupting the world's climate. But Massachusetts is fighting back. Today, state environmental officials release a new regulatory roadmap designed to guide the state to meet ambitious cuts in climate-changing emissions. As WBUR's Bruce Gellerman reports, the regulations will have far-reaching consequences for every sector of the Massachusetts economy.
While President Trump has called climate change a hoax, 20 states and the District of Columbia have taken action to reduce emissions of climate-changing gases, with Massachusetts leading the way with some of the first and toughest laws in the nation. The 2008 Global Warming Solutions Act requires the Commonwealth to cut greenhouse gas emissions 25% statewide from 1990 levels by 2020, and 80% by 2050.
If we miss these targets, then we are headed into uncharted waters.
Waters that are higher and hotter, says David Ismay. He's a senior staff attorney with the Conservation Law Foundation. Ismay says the state's future emission targets are based on the best available science to prevent a worst-case scenario.
We could have as much as 10 feet of sea level rise here in Massachusetts by 2100 if we don't start changing the way we power our economy.
Last year, CLF sued the state and won over the intent and wording of the Global Warming Solutions Act. In a unanimous landmark decision, the Supreme Judicial Court ruled the state's programs to cut carbon were insufficient and ordered the Baker administration to set annual declining limits on greenhouse gas emissions for individual sectors of the economy, agriculture, transportation, residential and commercial heat and light, and electric generation.
I think people will look back and see the case in these regulations as the beginning of the kind of transformative action that we need in the next 30 years.
But with 3 years to go to meet the first target of a 25% reduction in emissions, the state is only at 21%. That figure is 2 years old, but it's the best available, says Secretary of Energy and Environment Matthew Beaton, who's optimistic the new regulations will close the gap and meet the mandated target.
As it's trending right now, we feel as though we have enough confidence in our numbers, the modeling numbers, the assumptions that we made, and the conservative nature that we will be over and above the goal of 25%.
There are six new regulations, but most are small or symbolic. Two account for most of the gains. Electric generators will have to reduce the amount of carbon they emit into the atmosphere, and utilities will be required to buy more clean energy. State officials praised the Conservation Law Foundation for working with the administration to come up with the regs, but CLF attorney David Ismay says they don't go far enough.
I joke it's like going from smoking two packs of cigarettes a day to one and thinking you're still doing something good for your health. What we need now is to convert to renewable generation.
Our concern is that the regulations that are being proposed are akin to taking a sledgehammer to kill a fly.
Dan Dolan is actually a big supporter of renewable power. As president of the New England Power Generators Association, he represents most of the large wind and solar producers in the region, as well as those that use fossil fuels, hydro, and nuclear energy.
We need to regulate carbon emissions. The question is how and to what degree.
Dolan says power generators that burn fossil fuels have done the most to meet the 2020 goal.
And what we've seen from the power plant side since 1990, a 60% reduction in carbon emissions from power plants in Massachusetts. Power plants have reduced almost twice the amount of any other sector of the economy.
Much of that comes from closing coal and oil-burning plants that emitted a lot of carbon. The last coal plant in the state shut down earlier this year. Today, 42% of Massachusetts' electricity comes from in-state power plants that burn natural gas. Dolan estimates 90% of the Baker administration's new plan to meet 2020 targets would come from reducing emissions from those plants. He says not only is that unfair, it doesn't make sense, because to meet the state's demand for electricity will require getting more power from out of state.
Those other plants, when they run, emit at a higher rate than the Massachusetts plants they will be replacing, and we will end up with higher regional emissions and more expensive electricity.
State officials estimate the new regulations will increase the average consumer's electric bill by 1 or 2% a year. To meet the need for clean energy, last year Governor Baker signed a law requiring utilities to procure more electricity from carbon-free wind, hydro, and energy storage systems. It's the largest green power procurement in state history. Winning bidders will get 20-year contracts, but building transmission lines and wind farms is at least 5 years or more into the future.
It's exciting what will take place in the future.
State Senator Mark Pacheco, Democrat from Taunton, led the effort to pass the Global Warming Solutions Act. He's now reviewing the administration's regulations to meet the 2020 goal and has proposed legislation to set interim targets for 2030 and 2040. Pacheco sees wind, hydro, and storage as the way to power the Massachusetts economy.
I don't think we need more fossil fuels. It's time to embrace an energy, the fuel source of which costs us nothing.
From 1990 to 2014, Massachusetts' gross domestic product grew 70%, while climate warming emissions have declined 21%. But to stay on the road to a clean energy future will require cracking the toughest dirty energy source, transportation. Over that same period of time, there's been virtually no reduction in carbon emissions from vehicles.
The transportation sector is one of the most difficult emissions sources to decarbonize because it's so decentralized.
Attorney Megan Herzog with the Conservation Law Foundation says today cars and trucks, not power plants, are the number one source of climate pollution. Drivers, you and I, are responsible for emitting 40% of the state's greenhouse gases. Governor Baker's plan to meet the 2020 reduction targets includes a regulation requiring state agencies buy low and no emission vehicles. But admittedly, that's largely a symbolic act. Herzog says aggressive action on transportation is needed.
If we have our eye on the prize of reducing emissions 80% by 2050, there's no way we're going to get there without a serious aggressive transition of transportation away from petroleum-based fuels.
That means electric vehicles. Herzog believes they'll catch on as quickly as smartphones. Today, out of nearly 5 million vehicles registered in the state, just 11,000 are EVs. But state officials predict that will increase to 300,000 by 2025. And where will all that electricity to power those vehicles come from? Senator Mark Pacheco says it will be homemade New England energy, captured from the sun, wind, and water.
Instead of being at the end of the pipeline, we would be at the beginning of a whole new transmission world of energy. Now, wouldn't that be great?
Cause for optimism, but the damage has been done. The climate already disrupted. So Governor Baker has directed the state to work with cities and towns across Massachusetts to assess their vulnerability and build resiliency to address the effects of global climate change around the Commonwealth. For 90.9 WBUR, I'm Bruce Gellerman.